following broadcast comes out of Canaan Baptist Church in Gainesville, Georgia. Our address is 3125 Antioch Campground Road, Gainesville, Georgia, 30506. We have Sunday morning service, Sunday school starting at 10 a.m. Normal Sunday morning service starts at 11. We have evening service starts at 6. On Tuesdays, we have a food bank from 4 to 7. Wednesdays, we have a discovery program starts at 6:30. We meet in the fellowship hall and eat, and then the service starts at 7 o'clock. And Fridays, we have an RU program, Reformers Unanimous, drug and alcohol addiction program. Come be with us. Thank you.
Good morning. This is Joshua Lamb with Canaan Baptist Church. We are pleased that you have joined us by the way of the radio this morning. We're recording this at night, so forgive me if I say night sometimes, but that's all right. I'm going to be in Luke chapter number 15. Luke chapter number 15, verse number 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land. And he began to be in want, and he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Our Father God, as we go into this message tonight, God, the thought that you've gave me for the past few days, Lord, I pray that you would expound in my heart, Lord, and you would give us the message that needs to be preached. Help us to say exactly what needs to be said and nothing that does not need to be said tonight. I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, if there be one lost by the way of the radio, God, that you would convict them, you would give them that opportunity to be saved. And Lord, I pray for that prodigal, Lord, that's out there. Lord, for whatever reason they're not in church today, I pray, God, that you would draw them back. Lord, help us to preach this thought that you've given us in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. And tonight, the thought that I have, Brother Cody, this was spurned by a question that the preacher asked a few nights ago during service. He asked the question, why are so many prodigals not coming home? And I want to preach on this thought, what drew the prodigal home? The first thing that I see, Brother Cody, is that he found himself in a hog pen, slopping pigs, and he found himself starving to death. There was a famine in the land. He had nothing. He had no way of making money. He had no way of getting food, and he was starving to death, Brother Chris, and he said, how many hired servants in my father's house have bread enough to spare? The first thing that I see that drew him back was bread. Now, in this passage of Scripture, I believe you can look at it several different ways, but the thing I'm looking at with this bread, Brother Jacob, is the bread is substance. There's something to it. There's something about bread that makes it of nutritional value. He said that he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. Brother Chris, if you think about corn and you think about the grain in that corn, you take the husk off of that corn. Well, that husk ain't good for nothing. You just throw it out and let the animals eat it. You take the cob and that cob's not good for nothing. You throw that out and let the animals eat it. And he was so desperate, Brother Brad, for something to eat. He was willing to eat the slop that the hogs were eating. He was willing to sit down and belly up to the trough and eat the scraps, eat the rotting, putrid slop that the hogs were eating. There was no nutritional value in what the hogs were eating. There was no nutrition in what he was finding himself having to eat for dinner that night. But he realized that at the Father's house, there was bread enough to spare. That bread had nutritional value. Can I tell you what the bread is a picture of here? The bread is a picture of the Word of God. And there is some things out there that are masquerading as Bibles that have no nutritional value for the child of God. You want to know why prodigals ain't coming back to the house of God? It's because there's no substance. There's nothing on the dinner table that's nourishing them, that could feed them in their time when they realize, Brother Chris, when they hit rock bottom and they've got nowhere to go, they've got nothing to feed them. They don't need a bunch of panty-wasted liberals preaching out of some fake NIV Bible, trying to make them feel good about themselves. They need the Word of God. They need the King James Bible, that authorized King James Bible. Brother Brad, there's something real about this book. There's something real about the King James Bible. Every other so-called version that is out there today, they've done everything they could, Brother Cody, to take the blood out of it. But the King James Bible, it's a bloody book. It's a bloody Word of God. There's something to it. And can I tell you, if we want to draw prodigals back, we need to be able to feed them something nutritional. We need to be able to feed them God's holy word, Brother Chris. We need to be able to give them what the Scripture says. Now, I want to point something out before I move on in this message. I want to point out some facts about this prodigal son. Now, I don't find anywhere, Brother Cody, where the father compromised and went to the hog pen after his son. You might say, well, why didn't the father go after him? Why didn't the father go get him? Can I tell you the last thing that we need to do, Brother Brad, is compromise on God's word, compromise on what this Bible says, just so we can get the attendance back up. You can tell Z-Dog Witzel I said so. Amen. I am sick of this movement. Brother Chris, I'm sick of this movement that says we need to compromise on the Word of God. I'm sick of people saying that we're too hard, we're too rough because we take the Word of God literally. I'm sick of people saying that you just need to quit preaching as my little daughter goes out and fornicates at some stinking dance. You need to quit preaching as my boy's out in the back seat fornicating with his stinking girlfriend. Yes! The father did not compromise. Y'all better stay with me. Second thing I saw, we see that he knew that the father's house had bread. But in his father's house, Brother Brad, he saw an opportunity. And when he went to his father, he said, I'm no more worthy to be called your son.
There's not a one of us that is worthy, Brother Chris, of being called a son of God. But it's not anything to do with whether or not we're worthy. We don't worship because we're worthy. We don't shout because we're worthy. We don't serve God because we're worthy. We do these things because He's worthy. But he saw an opportunity. It said that he joined himself to a citizen of that country. Now, there's two ways you can look at this. This is how I'm going to preach it tonight, so just hang on. When he said he joined himself to that citizen, what did that citizen do? Put him out in the hog field slopping hogs. You know what he done? He went and he became a slave to that citizen. And when you became a slave in those days, what they did was they took you over to a doorpost and you laid your earlobe. Y'all listening to me on the radio? I'm sick and tired of watching these little boys act like men. I think they're tough because they drove a spike through their earlobe. They take that earlobe and lay it on the doorpost. And that new master would take an awl and he'd drive a hole right through his ear. That signified from that day forward, Brother Chris, that he owned that man until the day he died. But he saw an opportunity in his father's house to not be a slave, but to be a servant. Now, if you look and you look at the difference between a slave and a servant, a slave is somebody who works for nothing. A slave is somebody you own. A slave is somebody that you send out and you treat them just like a piece of farm equipment, just like a piece of machinery. You make them do a task and you don't have to compensate for that. But a servant is a hired hand. Now, don't mix me up. If you're listening by the way of the radio, I'm not about to preach some kind of stinking prosperity doctrine. But what I am telling you is whenever you're right with God and you're serving God, the Bible said he's scarcely seen the righteous forsaken. God the Father will take care of his own. He saw an opportunity to be a servant. Because as a slave, he was destitute. In the hog pens, slopping hogs. That was all that he had to eat was a stinking, rotten, putrid slop. But as a servant, he knew that he could make a living. Can I tell you, whenever somebody does come back to God, they're going to have marks on their body where they were slaves to sin. They're going to have tattoos. They're going to look like they fell into a tackle box. They're going to look unpleasing to our spiritual eyes. They're going to smell funny. They're going to act a little funny. Some of them might have even lost a few brain cells while they've been out in the world. And they might not have that elevator going all the way to the top floor anymore, Brother Chris. But there's some things that the father did whenever he came home. I want you to pay attention to this. This goes back to compromise. This goes back to us not compromising on God's word. I'm talking about what drew the prodigal home. The father changed his diet. The father changed what he was eating. He went from eating slop, eating trash, eating scraps and the husks. He came home looking for bread, Brother Cody. Amen. He came home looking for the cheapest nutritional food he could find. But the father, hey, listen, you bunch of vegans, the father killed the fatted calf. There was meat on the table. Brother Cody, I'm glad that just because somebody gets out of the will of God, there may be things that they are disqualified from doing. There may be heights that they can't climb to, but they are not exempt from feasting on the meat of the Word of God. Your only limitation, if you're a prodigal this morning, your only limitation is you. You don't want to get right with God. He changed his diet. But then I see this, the father changed his clothes. When we get right with God, Brother Chris, we change how we portray ourselves outwardly. We change how we dress. When a young lady gets out of the will of God and starts to live that worldly life and she comes back, there's some things that she has to change about how she portrays herself. A young man is the same way. Brother Cody, how many times have we seen it? How many times have we seen? We used to have a slew of young people at one time. Brother Chris, I was sitting here thinking the very first time that we did this, the very first time that we all came together and had an all-night preacher's meeting, it actually went all night because it took all night to preach everybody. And now, where are they at? Brother Cody, I drove by one the other day. I drove by him the other day. And he wouldn't even look at me. Used to stand and preach with power. Gone. Using excuses. He's mad at this one or he's mad at that one. He's mad at grandpa. He's mad at mama. He's mad at grandma. He's mad at... What he's really bitter about is the fact that he got embarrassed when he got out. And I'm not preaching to be mean about it. I'm not preaching to be hateful. We all understand what I'm talking about. But he's out today. He used to preach behind the pulpit with power and authority. And he's out today. Why has he not come back? The father changed his clothes. But then the father did something else. The father gave him a ring. Now, Brother Cody, in those days, that ring signified something. If you were from a royal family or a influential family in that community, there was a ring with a signet on it. That was your crest. That was your signet that showed what family you were from. Brother Chris, I believe whenever someone gets out of the will of God, when they shipwreck their life or even if they just step out for a period of time and they come back, if they will come back humble and wanting to repent like this prodigal did, he said, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But that did not change the fact that he was his father's son. He put a ring on him signifying, this is my boy. Yeah, he smells like pigs right now. Yeah, he's been out slopping the world and slopping hogs. He's been out in the hog pens. Yeah, he's scarred up where he sold his body into slavery to sin. Yeah, he's broke, he's destitute. But that does not change the fact that he's my boy, he's my son. And I'm glad, Brother Chris, just because we may screw our life up down here, that God the Father does not throw us away. Third thing I see here, and I believe, gentlemen, I believe this is the main reason why prodigals do not come home. Third thing I see here, verse 20, and he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Can I tell you? His father wanted him. The reason why we don't have as many prodigals coming back, Brother Chris, as what happened years ago is because they're no longer wanted in the house of God. We've got too many stinking forked-tongued Jezebels that will run their mouth about somebody that's coming back to God. They want to sit here and say, well, they did this and they did that before they left and went out of the will of God. They did this. They hurt this person. Shut up! You ain't no stinking better than they are. Prodigal was wanted. Can I tell you, it takes time to fatten up a calf. I wonder, Brother Brad, if the day that the prodigal left out, if the father looked over at his servants and said, you know what? That calf over there, that one over there, won't you just pin it up and fatten it up? Why do you want us to fatten this calf up? I mean, you should be mourning. Your son's gone. He's left. Go ahead and fatten that calf up. Can I tell you, the father was anticipating getting to feed something, substance, to his son one more time. And Brother Cody, if we want prodigals to come back home, we better be ready to feed them when they get here. We better be ready to nurture them and give them some nutrition when they get here. Because Brother Chris, as a child of God, when they step out on God, the first thing they're going to do is start starving that spiritual man. They're going to start feeding that flesh. And when the flesh lets them down, they're going to start looking for answers. They're going to start looking for something to feed themselves with. They're going to be spiritually starving to death. We better be ready to feed them when they come back. Because if we don't, see, this is what we find, Brother Brad. You might have one show up every once in a while. And it really ticks me off when this happens. I really wish the preacher was serious about that whipping post he jokes about, because there's a few people that could use that. But this ticks me off. They'll come back, and the first thing that happens is some old hag will turn around and look at them and roll her eyes like, I can't believe they've got the audacity to walk back in here after the things they said, the things they done, after they ran their mouth about the preacher, after they ran their mouth about my family, after they ran their mouth about this one, after they said this, after they cussed us out in the parking lot, after they stepped out and they got drunk, after they got pregnant and had abortions, after they stepped out and got hooked on drugs and liquor, after they shipwrecked their life, I can't believe they're back here again. Hey, ma'am, why don't you just shut your mouth? It'd do you good for God to give you the serious case of laryngitis every once in a while. Amen. But he fattened that calf up. And see, what'll happen is, Brother Chris, that person will come back once, and they'll get those eyes, and they'll feel uncomfortable, and they'll say, well, I shouldn't have come back. And then there'll be some stinking friend out in the world saying, won't you just come on over here, smoke a doobie out of my bag, won't you just come over here and we'll just party. You don't need that holy roller crowd. You don't need that pack of hypocrites over there in that church building. You don't need that junk no more. Won't you just come back to the world? And because they're hungry for something, Jacob, they will go back to the world. But what the church should have been doing is fattening up a calf for them and saying, come on home. Come on home, son. Come on home, daughter. And we'll give you some meat that'll last you all of eternity. We'll give you something that'll outlast your flesh. We'll give you the Word of God, that whenever it seems like all hell is breaking loose in your life, you can read the Scriptures. Blessed be the name of the Lord, which teaches my hands to war, my fingers to fight. Brother Chris, it makes me feel like Benaiah when I read that verse, charging into that pit with that lion. It makes me want to pick a fight. But I can tell you that the Word of God will sustain you when everything else fails you, when your flesh fails you. It may cut you sometimes. It may try to cut sin out of your life. It may want to correct you. But the Word of God sustains you. We better be ready to feed them when they come home. The father ran to meet him. Now, I said earlier, Brother Cody, the father never went to the hog pen to get him. We got no business as Christians in a bar. We got no Christians and no business as Christians in a drug house. We got no business as Christians in a whorehouse. You want to know what happens when you put a child of God into a whorehouse trying to win those whoremongers? That child of God's going to become a whoremonger. You put them in an environment that feeds the flesh, and the flesh is going to do what the flesh is going to do, and it's going to get fed. The dog that wins is always the one you feed. You feed that flesh dog, that old black dog, that's the one that's going to win the fight. But you feed that spiritual man, you ain't going to feed that spiritual man sitting in a bar sucking the suds out of a beer bottle. I was approached, Brother Cody, and I wasn't even right with God in this time in my life, but I was approached right out of high school by a man in a Waffle House. He saw my guitar in my car, and he said, "Man, do you play guitar?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, how about you joining my Christian band?" And I'm like, I mean, I wasn't raised that way. I knew that was wrong. I wasn't right with God, Brother Chris, but I knew that wasn't right. And I'm like, "I don't know, man." He said, "Oh, yeah, man, we go down to the bar and we sing some Christian music and some clean country. And then I'll sit there, I might have a beer or so, and then I'll witness to these guys." And I thought, "You idiot. Not right with God, brother. Oh, man, oh. I wasn't right with God, Brother Brad, but I was afraid God would kill me had I stooped to that level. I was afraid, Brother Cody, that I would die had I went to that bar with him and try to pretend to sing a Christian song in amongst a bunch of drunks." You don't go to the hog pens. You don't go to the slop. But now when they start making their way back, Brother Chris, instead of us looking down our long, dignified noses at them, instead of us lashing out with our forked tongues, instead of us talking bad about them and trying to run them off, we ought to be the first ones right there trying to go get them. Lead them on in the door. You want prodigals to come back, that's what it's going to take. Brother Cody, I heard Phil Kidd preach a message the other day. I was listening. Don't ever listen to Phil Kidd when you're driving down the road. Let's just say an F-250 cuts a mean donut. But he used an illustration, Brother Brad. He was talking about how he likes to trade things on the side. And he had a motorcycle he was wanting to trade for a car. This man brought this beautiful candy apple red convertible wanting to trade for his motorcycle. Even trade. And the preacher handed him the title for the motorcycle, and the guy handed him the title for the car, and he looked at the car title and said salvaged on it. And he said, "Whoa, wait a minute. This car was immaculate. Not a wrinkle on the top. Not a bubble in the paint. The engine sounded better than it did the day it rolled off the factory." Right. But the title said salvage. He said, "Hang on, I'm going to call down here to the courthouse, and I'm going to see what this word salvage means." And he called down the courthouse, and the lady that answered the phone, she said, "Well, sure, preacher, I'll tell you what salvage means. Whenever a title says salvaged on it, what that means is somebody went down to a junkyard and found some old heap of trash and said, 'You know, I think I can do something with that.' And they take that old piece of junk and they take it out of that junkyard and they strip it down. They take everything off of it and they begin to clean it up, Brother Brad. They begin to rebuild it. And it says salvaged on the title, but that thing will be better than it was when it was brand new because somebody pulled some heap of trash out of a junk heap and said, 'I'm going to fix this thing up. I'm going to restore it.' There's something else the Father did, Brother Chris. He restored His Son back into a right relationship. And can I tell you, if God is willing to forgive somebody, God is willing to restore them. What are you doing trying to judge them after they've come back to God?" I believe that's the main point. The prodigal came home because he knew that at home he was wanted. Whenever his flesh let him down, whenever he was broke, destitute, that citizen he joined himself to left him in the hog pens to starve. He wasn't wanted there. And when the money runs out, when the fun runs out, when your flesh runs out, those buddies and those friends you think you've got won't want you. But now, Brother Chris, as the Church of the Living God, we should never stop wanting them. We should never stop trying to get them to come home. I believe there's a deadline, Brother Chris. I believe there's a deadline. But when that person crosses that deadline, they're not going to live long. And God will let the church know when He judges that person. Brother Cody, we've seen it. We watched it happen. Recently, we watched it happen. But up until that point, when that prodigal crossed God's deadline, up until that point, there were people that were trying. But now, how many of us were really trying? Yeah. How many of us failed God in trying to get him to come home? That's where the rubber meets the road. Tonight, that is the message. Let's close out in prayer. Our Father, God, I thank you for this thought you've given us. I thank you for the message, and I pray, Lord, if there's somebody that maybe even from this church that is out of your will, that's left, and they've said, I'm never going back, I'm not coming back, just maybe they're curious and maybe they're listening this morning. God, I beg you, would you heap coals on them? Would you convict them? Let them know that there is a church that wants them to come home. Let them know that you love them and that you want them to come home. Lord, I love you and I thank you again. In Jesus' name, amen.